to tank or not to tank? Raptors fans have been asking this all year long. Seems like we're going for the play-in. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, guys? It is Jelani Goodridge-Reed here alongside Justin Pooney and Noor Zainab. And guys, the Raptors are coming off of a loss against Indiana at home the other night by 4 points. And now we have Detroit tonight. But on the topic of Toronto, they are in that play-in situation. So let's take a look at the Eastern Conference so far, guys. And look, it's kind of tight right now in the Eastern Conference. The Raptors are ninth right now. As you can see, Chicago's right behind us. Atlanta, we're trying to get that eighth spot, just haven't been able to. And Brooklyn at the seventh. So I want to ask you guys, looking at this board right now, okay, looking where the Raptors are right now at that ninth spot, who do you think, I'll go to Noor first for this one, who do you think the Raptors should want to play in the play-in?
I think of all the teams that are around us and probably going to give us some kind of a competition in the play-in, I want to see the Brooklyn Nets. I think that's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. They've pretty much fallen off the horse ever since everything transpired between Kevin Durant. I was going to say Kevin Love, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving having let go of Steve Nash. We thought they were seeing something come back into together, but ever since they let those two guys go, and Jacques Vaughn has been a part of it. I know bringing a lot of those other pieces in has been something that they want to build towards in the future, but as of right now, it hasn't really been showing anything on the court. And I think that's when the Raptors can take a team like that, doesn't really have an identity just yet. The Raptors don't have one either, but I think in this battle, this is something that they can take no problem. But in terms of the other teams too, I think the only team I probably wouldn't want to face are the Hawks. I just don't trust Trae Young. I think especially next to DeJounte Murray, because if you're trying to stop Trae Young, what if DeJounte Murray goes off? And if you're going to give me a battle of offense, I'm not going to take the Raptors in that battle. I'm going to take the other team. So I just don't want to see the Atlanta Hawks, but I think the Chicago Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets, the Raptors can take.
Yeah, Justin?
When you look at the standings though, like if you put the board back up, like I think Brooklyn's kind of set into that seven seed, right? I think Miami now is kind of, they're playing a lot better. Miami's won, you know, they're 7-3 in their last 10. They're kind of now getting back into that, solidifying a playoff position. So I think Brooklyn's pretty safe in that seven seed. If I'm the Toronto Raptors, like Noor mentioned, I'm trying to get to the 10 seed. I'm trying to fall. Lose games, tank, to fall to the 10 seed, because you have a higher chance of beating the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn. They have no home court advantage in Brooklyn.
No,
they have zero fans there, right? Maybe like Nick Wright and a couple other people. That's really about it. But if I'm the Raptors, I want to play the Brooklyn Nets, because like we mentioned, Trae Young, DeJounte Murray in Atlanta, that's a higher chance you're going to lose, right? I think the Bulls, I think the Raptors and Bulls are kind of going to be those two teams for the 9 and 10 spot. If I'm the Raptors, I'm going to try to get that 10 spot. We hear about that teams intentionally throw games to get better playoff positioning.
They might be right now,
but
how they're playing.
They're playing on thin ice because Indiana's not far off.
I was going to ask you, like you said try to get that 10th, but is there an opportunity for another team to, you know, catch up to the Raptors and then us
obviously Nick Nurse is going to make sure they play to win every game and solidify, because they still have some belief that they can get the sixth seed, which I think is a foregone conclusion.
No, it's a bit too far.
I think it's too far
but
at this point.
We also have talked about how they need to get a home playoff date in the play-in because that gives you the luxury. If you lose that game at home, you can still play a game on the road, right? They're in a weird position, the Raptors. If we look at the Raptors, like, I don't think right now playing Atlanta in Atlanta is the best. That's the worst case scenario. That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
You want to avoid that. So
even, I think even in Toronto, to be honest, not to cut you off, but I think as we know about Trae Young, he doesn't care about playing at home. He will play in New York court and he will make sure that he's the number one villain. So I don't like them anywhere.
Trae's, you know, they're a proven team in the playoffs. They won the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago, right? So if I'm the Toronto Raptors, I'm trying to avoid the Atlanta Hawks at all, right? I do not want to play them at all.
I think that Atlanta, they've been a 500 team all year long, so they haven't been as good as we thought, but that would be a scary situation. Chicago, I mean, they've been in a tough spot. I think the Raptors could get Chicago personally, but let's look at another team like Washington. If they get in there and we meet Washington, I think that's bad news for us, in my personal opinion.
The Pacers get in, that's bad news. The Pacers fuck the Raptors this season series, right?
So I think, because Washington, I think they go under the radar. Mm-hmm. If they can find a way to get in, that's a problematic, team because they have Kristaps, right? Yeah. That has hurt us. Bradley Beal, he could give you 25 plus whenever he wants. And let's not forget Kyle Kuzma's had a good year this year. So that's why I'm like, I don't know. But on this topic of the play-in and the Raptors, guys, we talked about it all year, okay? Mm-hmm. We talked about the trade deadline and things of that nature. So, Noor, I'll go to you. Do you think it was the right decision to try and play for the play-in rather than, you know, like what Raptors fans wanted, or most, the majority wanted us to start tanking?
So my take on the whole thing is I understand why Masai stood pat at the trade deadline. Even though a lot of people might not agree with him right now, what came to surface after the trade deadline was the deals just weren't there that the Raptors would have wanted to get back. And I can understand that and I can agree with that. But the problem now is you could have tanked. You could have gotten a lottery pick. You didn't have to be in the position of having to play in the play-in, because now you're trying to figure out how do you make your standings work so that you get the team that you match up the most well against, because let's face it, the Raptors don't really match up well against most teams, especially teams with height. And that's why you don't want to see the Pacers or Wizards, because they have taken our numbers this entire year. But because of that, I think they should have just taken the tank. Like, you didn't have to go and trade guys. That's okay. And I understand Masai probably wants to bank on this team one last time. But this team showed you who they were even a week after the All-Star break, which was after the trade deadline. So at that point, you could have just taken your foot off the gas pedal and said, you know what? I want to go with the sweet sticks for Wemby. Let's check this out. Right, so but you, now you're – sorry to cut you off.
No,
but like,
no, okay.
I'm gonna rant, but now you're looking to face off against the Bucks or Boston. Ooh. If you make it over the play-in, that's a bad spot to be.
Yeah, no, I was gonna ask you, like, was it worth it getting a guy like Jakob? He has changed the complexion of both offense and defense, but was it worth it?
Look, I remember when he first got traded to Toronto, I thought it was a horrible trade by the Raptors, right?
I remember that.
I was absolutely like confused as to why they would trade a first round pick for Jakob, but he's played very well. The proof is in the game, right? The game film. Made an impact defensively, made an impact offensively. The pick and roll with Fred is unbelievable, but you could have got him a free agency. And now the other thing is Gary Trent and Fred VanVleet are both going to become free agents, and they control all the cards on where they want to go. And if they don't want to be in Toronto, well, then Masai, you lost two assets right there that could have brought you a boatload of stuff. And that's a risk that you have to own up, and that could have either sink or let this franchise
win. Could have gone for free without giving up the first round pick too. So
that is true. That is true. Like, for me, as a Raptors fan, I do want to see them in the playoffs, you know, have that success. But I just don't know, guys. The offseason will be what determines the future, like the next 5 years of this team.
Yeah.
Because I think something's going to happen, or things, plural, are going to happen for sure. But we'll see what happens. Also, watch out for teams like Indiana and Washington. They're lurking, okay, in terms of the play-in situation. The Raptors, again, they are ninth right now. But for Noor Zainab, for Justin Pooney, I am Jelani Goodridge-Reed. We'll see you next time.
The NBA, like anything in life, is constantly evolving. LeBron, Steph, Klay, Harden are all out, but who has got next? This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody, and welcome to Hoop Talks. I'm Justin Pooney with Noor Zainab and Jelani Goodridge-Reed. Guys, today, special topic. We always talk about the present with the Toronto Raptors, what's going on in the NBA, but today, we're going to open up our crystal balls and look ahead to the future. Which team in the NBA will be dominating the NBA in the next 5 years? Let's start off with whoever wants to go first. Jelani, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I got this.
Please first.
Okay, yeah, that is true. Let me not disrespect Noor. Noor, go ahead.
No, it's the lady's first to you.
Get
the joke, Jelani. Don't make me look crazy.
Look, I'm slow. Okay, it's a Friday. I'm trying to relax. I'm trying to chill.
Friday.
All right, so let me go first. And I'm going to go with Orlando.
Okay.
I want to go against the grain, you know, off the board, because I think OKC is the favorite, right? A lot of people looking at them. Cleveland's young. But I think Orlando is doing something really good, right? We haven't seen them do much over this last decade, right? But now you got guys like Paolo Banchero, right? Who is the rookie of the year. Let's all agree here, right? Paolo, to me, he's going to be the future of this team for sure, like moving forward. Mm-hmm. He's going to be that face, right? And then you got a guy like Wagner, who I love, right? He's a multi-talented guy. Then, you know, Suggs. Suggs was a guy Raptors fans wanted really badly, right? His rookie year wasn't the best, but that was due to injury. So I think he still has that upside. So you're looking at that, and let me break down. They have a lot of picks, okay? They have five firsts over the next few years. And this year they have two, okay, because they have the Bulls' first-round pick. that might be a top 10 pick. So two top 10s. Pick, yeah. Hey, if you get a guy like, let's say if they find a way to get in that top three, or, you know, it's possible, Miller, probably, you could get yourselves a good guy in the back end of that top 10. So I think, you know, it depends on coaching for sure in Orlando. And look, there's a logjam in a lot of their positions. So they're going to
have to. Especially in the front court.
They're going to have to spread that talent around. But I really like what they're doing. They also have guys, you know, on that bench that are young as well. Cole Anthony, Caleb Houston. So I like Orlando.
Yeah, it's a team of guards. I think, yeah, they'll come through at some point. The future might just be guards as much as people want to say it's the center position. But for me, it's actually going to be the Detroit Pistons. Mm. I think this is a team that has completely put together a young squad. Even when they went and brought in James Wiseman from Golden State Warriors, I thought that was such a good pickup for them because he fit in with the idea of what they wanted to build with this team, which is have young, great athletes that they can mold into something better for the future. And we've seen that. Cade Cunningham, number one draft pick of his class, currently not playing, unfortunately, but we know once he's back, he's going to be given the keys as he's been given the second he landed in Detroit, pretty much. But outside of that, they have a lot of young guys. Marvin Bagley III, James Wiseman, as I mentioned, Killian Hayes, Jaden Ivey. This is a young team looking to make some noise in the next couple of years. So I'm excited to see what the Detroit Pistons can do, even though it's going to be a lot of Dwayne Casey probably coming.
Who knows if Dwayne Casey's even going to be the coach for the Pistons?
Yeah, that's a question, right?
I mean, does he deserve it? Do you guys think?
No, I don't think so.
I think when the Pistons become good, Dwayne Casey's not going to be coaching them. I actually think sadly. I don't think Dwayne Casey's going to get past this year as the Pistons head coach.
He might not. But if that happens, he's been around the block. So yeah, he'll be somewhere.
He'll be a head coach or a lead assistant at any place.
Or even a college job if he
wants,
right?
Exactly.
And given the fact that the Pistons obviously are going to be in the lottery again this year, and they've been in the lottery maybe again in the year after too. So that, you know, they'll be able to bring in the talent better than a lot of other teams will be able to because they're riding so low in that basement already. I like what they have. I think the future might be Detroit, which is better for Raptor fans because there are actually cheaper seats there that we can go and attend.
That is true.
But I'm gonna go with the Pistons.
Okay. So you guys mentioned Detroit. I think Cade Cunningham has that special factor, that special ability.
Yep.
You mentioned Paolo Banchero, who I think is shown this year that, you know, there's a reason he's head and shoulders above the rest to win Rookie of the Year. I'm going to go on the board. I'm going to go with the favorite. Okay. It's too glaring.
It's too glaring not to go against this pick.
We're seeing the Oklahoma City Thunder be reincarnated once again as Western Conference contenders, led by Canadian Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And for all those people out there that think, oh, Shai's going to leave. He's going to go to Toronto. He doesn't want to be in Oklahoma City. He doesn't want to. He wants to come home to Toronto. Why would he want to do that? Look at the team he's got behind him, man. Look at the team. Josh Giddey, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren. Talk about Orlando having a bunch of draft picks, right?
Who's got more
draft picks than the Oklahoma City Thunder, they have And they have Sam Presti running the helm. Sam Presti built the Oklahoma City Thunder, the first edition of them that were Western Conference powerhouses for years, and he's at the helm again. And also, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is definitely committed to the Oklahoma City Thunder because he had this to say.
I know what I signed up for, and I signed a 5-year extension.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to be losing for much longer. So it's not like I signed up to lose or anything.
Right.
I believe in this team, believe in the players we have on this team. And I think we're heading in the right direction and we'll be where we want to be soon.
He's PR ready.
We'll be where we want to be soon. Eat your heart out, Raptor fans. He's not coming to Toronto.
He's coming, bro. 23.
No, wait, why is everything so directed at Raptor fans? We're happy for him anywhere. It's cool.
So I'm going to Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I want to say this, though. But none of you guys, nobody mentioned Boston, Memphis, Denver. Mm-hmm. You know, Jokic is only 27 years old. In 5 years, he'll still be 32. Jamal Murray's still young. Michael Porter Jr. Jason Tatum. We don't know what Jaylen Brown's going to do, but they're still going to have Jason Tatum. John Morant and Desmond Bane and the Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson aren't going anywhere. What about those teams?
I think the Warriors have a decent team as well because they're going to have guys like Kuminga coming up. They're going to have guys like Jordan Poole. They have Andrew Wiggins. So, and you know, that team and that franchise understands how to build a team and how to bring the right guys in. And they're one of the better developmental teams next to Spurs and Toronto. So I can see the Warriors still being really good in the next couple of years as well. Given how we're going to see, I think Klay definitely declines, but Steph Curry is going to be Steph Curry for as long as he's in the NBA, in my opinion.
I think aside from Orlando, because that I was trying to go with a really, really young team, right?
Yeah.
But if you're talking about
you understood the assignment. Yeah, you understood the assignment.
I did. But in terms of teams that have been to the playoffs, have made some type of noise, I'm looking at Cleveland.
Mm.
I think Cleveland's in a really good spot, especially bringing in a guy like Spider. I think Mitchell, moving forward, can be that guy that they've been needing, right?
Right.
Yes, you have Garland. Yes, you have Mobley and those guys, but you need that star, right? And that's who he is and has
been.
And those
are young guys.
Yes. So that's, and good coaching, too. With
I will staff. Say this, though, about Evan Mobley. If he can develop a three-point shot,
ooh,
you're looking
scary.
At a guy who's going to be consistently all-NBA, 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 all-NBA. My last thing I want to throw quickly before we go, I think the Los Angeles Lakers, because the luster of the Lakers and the Lakers are going to be spending a lot of money, they will attract free agents because they're the Lakers. So
yeah, we know that.
Pan out for that, too. But we don't really know the future. This could all blow up in our face. It probably will. But we could be right, too. This has been Hoop Talks.
The Clippers were projected to be one of the top teams in the Western Conference, but their hopes seem more slim than ever. This is Hoop Talks. Welcome back, you guys. I'm Noor Zainab, Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, and today we're going to break down the LA Clippers in the Western Conference right after Paul George went down against Oklahoma City Thunder in the fourth quarter with just about 4 minutes left to go. The game was tied 91-91, but the second Paul George went off, they actually lost that game 101-100 by 1 point. If we can have the clip play where it shows Paul George getting injured, it looks kind of bad. It doesn't look great. It looks like he hurt himself pretty badly. And I think the discourse around it immediately after was just, how long will he be out for? But thankfully, the verdict has come out and we know now that he will be reevaluated in two to three weeks. But what does that tell us about the playoff picture of the Clippers, Jelani?
Yeah, this is a tough one. This is because I like Paul George a lot. I feel like Kawhi is now getting in his groove. He's giving you 27 points per game now. He's balling. You have a guy like PG and what surrounds him, of course, right? So now with this injury, this is a huge setback, right? And then if you're looking at the playoff picture right now, they play Phoenix in the first round. I don't think they're even going to hold the fifth seed because the West is so close. Like every single team from 4 to like 11, it seems, right? You lose one game, you're like down like a few seeds. So I think this is tough for the Clippers. I'm just looking at this franchise, though, as a whole. I don't know what it is.
The Clipper curse is real.
They're the baby brother in LA. I don't know
what it
is, man.
I think the Lakers curse the Clippers or something.
Because like there's always an injury, and it's not even just this edition. It's the Chris Paul teams,
they're
right?
Like your Dallas Cowboys, man.
I wouldn't go that far because they haven't won anything. Okay, they haven't won anything.
But
they haven't even been to a final. So,
but when something
they've been to one conference final.
But something always bad happens to the Clippers. Something bad always happens.
I would give you a better. Okay, sorry for the football talk, but Chargers because they always get hurt, right?
Okay.
So,
okay.
And they're in LA. But I think the thing is, like even those Lob City teams, whether it was Redick, Chris, Blake, they would get hurt.
Yeah.
This edition, you bring these guys together, you want to win something. I remember they were talking about Kawhi. He was the best in the league. Okay, after
he
that title, right? King of LA, that commercial. Don't forget
commercial.
About it. So that happened, right? But let's not forget they failed in the bubble, right?
Oh,
they failed.
Mightily.
That
choked.
People, everyone forgets to bring that up. I don't know why.
I don't know
okay?
who I remember that.
They forget to bring that up. Then the year after, right? The injury to Kawhi, and then this year. So this has been a failure in my estimation. I feel like they thought it would be easy championships. I didn't think so. And I've been waiting for them to prove me wrong. But now you gotta say like the injuries have, you know, kind of dimmed the light here in LA.
I think it's also best to look at the glass half full. It's the best case scenario for the Los Angeles Clippers. You saw how gruesome that injury looked, right? When when I saw him, his season's done.
I thought
he's
so.
Done. He's done, right? Because we all know Paul George's history with his leg, right? The fact that he had a 360 dunk after he broke his leg like that, he could still have that athleticism is crazy. It's an athletic feat itself. But this is the best case scenario for the Clippers, that he's going to be back in 2 to 3 weeks. He won't miss too much significant time in the playoffs. Now, it does affect their seeding in the Western Conference, like you mentioned. Look, the West is wherever. Like I think any team can beat any team on any given night, right? There's a chance that the Phoenix Suns could fall into the play-in. Right, there's a chance the Minnesota Timberwolves could go up into a sixth seed. We don't know what's going to happen. All we know is the Western Conference is going to be an absolute dogfight the entire way through. right? And the fact that Paul George is going to be out in the next 2 to 3 weeks sucks. But as long as you have a ticket to the dance, they'll be fine. They'll make their way out. I still believe that the Clippers will make a run. They're not a championship run, but they'll still be fine in the Western Conference playoff picture.
Yeah, I think they have all the right pieces to make a run. If not now, then in the future. Because as we mentioned, Kawhi Leonard, he might not be playing to his abilities the entire year, but we know when he turns it on, it's going to be right after the All-Star break, right into the playoff section, and he'll make sure that he's going to be that Kawhi Leonard with the extra little bit of sauce in his game. On the other hand, as we said, Paul George has been playing super well as a guy who's number two, not a number one guy even, just a number two guy next to Kawhi Leonard. The same night he got injured, he had a 360 dunk, and it took all over the highlights. Everywhere you looked, it was Paul George scoring everything. I just wish the Clippers had earlier game time so someone like me on a Toronto time frame can watch them
and not
feel tired. Jelani, you get like 5 hours of sleep every single night. I don't know how you do it. And then having a guy like Westbrook there now too, he's actually producing to a decent level and helping the Clippers get some wins, because after Paul George went down, they actually met OKC again the day after, and they won that game. It was 127-105, led by Kawhi Leonard's 32 points, but it was also Westbrook's 23 that he added on that helped the Clippers get that win. So how much can you count on Westbrook in this time with Paul George away? $1 million question, guys.
I don't want to sully Russell Westbrook, though. Russell Westbrook is what he is. He is what he is. He's not going to be Russell Westbrook from 5 years ago to average a triple-double. He's not going to be that guy anymore, right? That's not what the Clippers are asking him to be. Can he be a guy that can average 14 points, 6 assists, maybe a couple rebounds, like 4 or 5 rebounds a game? If he can do that, that's all they would need. That's great, right? As a guy that can fill in for Paul George's shoes and average, you know, the 24 points a game, the 5 assists. Paul George also averages a steal and a half a game too, right? You're talking about one of the best two-way players of a generation. That is too far-fetched. But I think if Russell Westbrook can stay within his game and not do too much, look, they got Norman Powell. They got Bones Highland. They got, you know,
Terrence Mann.
You know, they have pieces on the Clippers roster. So I think if Russell Westbrook just stays within his game and doesn't try to do too much, right, they'll be fine. But he's not going to replace Paul George.
Real quick, Jelani, does this team have a future in contention?
Like this season? These playoffs?
Not right now, but the future in contention. Yes. Yeah, let's say the year after.
Yeah, I truly believe, because they're a deep roster. They have a good coach in Ty Lue, one of the best, if not the best, you could argue, right? And they have these two stars, but they got to stay healthy. That was my question. Remember, preseason, you guys, I was with you. We were talking about the Clippers. They looked really good on paper, but I was like, I don't know if they could stay healthy. That's why I'm not putting my stock into them to go on a deep run. So I would say, given health, yes, of course they could probably challenge for a Western Conference title, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
In all these years.
I also got to think about the age too of these players. Like they're getting up there in age, and they're not going to contend for the next 5 years, I think, but the next 2 to 3 years, there's this contention.
The window's closing.
It's closing, right? And they have no more draft capital, right? They gave that all away for Paul George, so they're going to need to figure out a way to maximize this
we'll see what happens
small window Englewood. They have now, this closing window, and what they can do. But they got Steve Ballmer, who's not afraid to spend money, so that's always a good thing.
Not afraid to spend money or use money. Yeah, I think the problem with this team has been, we've seen how good they are, just like the Raptors last year, even without Kawhi Leonard in the lineup, even without Paul George, they were able to get those wins. So what are we missing now with those main guys in there? But if anything, it looks like the Raptors and Kawhi sold their soul for the 2019 championship. The Raptors take on the Pistons tonight. We'll see if they can take a win. And good luck to the Clippers and Paul George. See you guys next time.